I don't know about you today, friends, but I'm pretty thankful for that love that we just sang about. Are you? I'm pretty thankful that God has loved us so much that He's willing to send His Son to take our place on the cross. I'm so thankful that, you know, we sang about to make a wretch His treasure. That's us when we come to Him. From wretch to treasure. I'm so thankful about that. Amen? Sure glad to see you on this Palm Sunday morning. Let's pray together. Father, we're just so thankful today You've loved us. I don't understand how You loved us so much, Lord, but we're sure thankful that You do. And a matter of fact, there's plenty of times in our lives I don't understand even why You love us. But You do. And I'm so thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, that that love of Yours for humanity, Your creation, propelled You to move love in action in sending Your Son. We're so thankful this morning, Father, that Jesus came. And He didn't just come as a baby, although that's true, but He came as Messiah and Lord. And He came and He taught us and He instructed us and He healed. And He set all kind of captives free. And on this day, a couple of thousand years ago, we remember that He came into Jerusalem with the crowds yelling, "Hosanna!" And all the while He knew what lay ahead of Him. He knew that they'd be yelling, "Hosanna," today, but in a few days, some in Jerusalem would be crying, "Crucify Him." And He knew of the cross, and yet, Jesus, You came anyway. And we just want to say thank You this morning. Thank You. Oh God, for loving us. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us so much You would do that. And so as we have gathered this morning, Father, we've come from many walks of life and we've probably got many things in our minds, and yet we're Your creation. We're human beings that You created and that You love, and You want to have a relationship with us that's so real and so transformational that we'll live with You forever. And so, Father, however we've come today, with preconceived notions or with no idea or no thoughts or cares about You at all, we've come and we've gathered to worship You and to hear from You. And so while we continue to worship You this morning, Father, would You speak to our hearts? Speak to mine, speak to ours, speak to people in churches everywhere, speak to people that didn't get to church today. Father, would You redeem and save and transform, heal, set the captives free again today, oh God. I pray for our community, Father, the communities from which we come. I just pray again today that this season, this most precious of seasons, would be a time of reflection for people that don't go to church. And perhaps next Sunday, resurrection morning, people would come to church someplace and get in Your presence, and more importantly, surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so, Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the season. Thank You for everybody that has come. Thank You for churches gathering around our community and around the world. Father God, glorify Your name, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. I'm going to invite you to grab your Bible today. The screen's going up because I want you to pull out your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's probably one in a chair near you. And so I'm just inviting you to pull out your Bibles. And it's good to know where Matthew is. It's good to be familiar with our Bibles. And so let me say again, if you don't have a Bible that you're comfortable with and you're reading in, and you want one, you see us today, because we have one for you. We want you to read the Bible. We think it's that important. We'd encourage you to read it every day. And so I'm inviting you to pull out your Bibles today, or pull one out from under the chair in front of you someplace, and turn in it to Matthew 21. And we're going to talk today about the triumphal entry. And I know for a fact that the triumphal entry isn't a new story to any of you. I know that. But it's good to be reminded a little bit about that triumphal entry. And so I'm going to read that story from Matthew's account. But what we're going to focus on is the crowds that day. The crowds. Not just at the Western Gate where he made in his triumphal entry and people shouted, Hosanna! But the other parts of the crowds in Jerusalem that day too. You know, let me invite you to think about this for a moment. When he came in as a baby, there wasn't many people involved. There wasn't many people singing and shouting his praises. You remember the story? A few shepherds. Later on, some wise men. Magi. There wasn't many people shouting his praises when the King of Kings came to be born in Bethlehem in a manger. There was a few. And he lives 30 years and he begins his ministry. And some people either loved him or they hated him. That's bottom line. And I think it's kind of that way today too. And we get to this point in history where Matthew tells us a story. The other Gospels tell it too. Where some people saw him riding into Jerusalem that day on this little old donkey. And they shouted out praises and hallelujahs and Hosanna. And so he had gained from his birth a few people. In obscurity in Bethlehem, he had gained a bunch more people that were shouting his praises. But still, we're going to see from Scripture today, not everybody was shouting his praises. A lot of people were shrugging their shoulders and say, so what? Who is it? And some people were just plain ticked off at even the name of Jesus. But there's going to come a day where every knee is going to bow. There's going to come a day when he's going to come back. The Bible said, as the lightning flashes in the east and can be seen in the west, there's going to come a day when everybody's going to know. And everybody's going to bow at the name of Jesus. And some of them would have wished they would have done it a whole long time ago. Because when he comes back, and if we haven't bowed the name of our knee to the name of Jesus, and we haven't confessed, as Romans 10 and 9 says, with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then it will be too late. Let's look at the crowds. In Matthew 21's account. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, that's Jesus and the disciples, and came to Bethage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, this comes from Zechariah 9:9, by the way. This was written some 500 plus years before this triumphal entry. But look at how God instilled in Zechariah to write these words. And Matthew includes them in this story. Because Zechariah wrote, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. Lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Remember, we've been talking some over these last 3 weeks about why did he come? Prophecy had to be fulfilled too. This is just part of many, many, many prophecies that were fulfilled in his lifetime. But Zechariah predicted it. Matthew wanted to include it to remind the Jewish readers especially, and us, of prophecy being fulfilled. And he reminded them, your king is coming. Your king is coming. Your king is coming. He's not coming in on that charging white stallion like kings normally do after battle, but he's coming. And Matthew includes this in his writing. And verse 6 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded him. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, they're crying out, which we know means save now, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest is what they were shouting that day. Verse 10 says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitudes, that's the ones that welcomed him into the city and were laying their coats on the road and the cutting the branches down and laying them on the road. The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now there's a lot of things we could talk about in these verses, but we're just going to have to read over them and focus on some other things. And so we'll conclude with these couple of verses. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, okay, he's healing again. This is the last week that he's going to be amongst them. He's still healing. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw the wonderful things that he did, and they heard the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. These people, Bible calls them chief priests and scribes, the Bible says they were indignant. I want us to notice and see who we identify with of these crowds. Verse 9 reminds us there's a crowd crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. There's a crowd crying, Hosanna. Hosanna. In essence, this crowd, this part of the crowd in Jerusalem that day would be crying out to him, Lord. Verse 10 says, and there were those in Jerusalem that day. After all, the Passover was at hand. The Passover was just a few days away. And there were those in Jerusalem that didn't see the entrance, didn't know about it, maybe didn't care. And their reply was, who is this? Their hearts could have been saying, just another fanatic. Just another religious teacher, just another lunatic that people are following. Verse 15 describes yet another crowd, another part of the crowd, I should say. The chief priests and the scribes saw the things that he was doing. They heard the voices crying out, Hosanna, and the Bible says they were indignant. This small group in Jerusalem that day would call him liar. You see the categories? Some are calling him Lord. Some are calling him just another religious fanatic, a lunatic perhaps. And some of them are calling him outright liar. We don't believe you are who these people are saying you are. Three sets of people. Three very different sets of feelings that day. Emotions were running high. Three very different views towards Jesus. I'm sure that in the crowd that laid their coats on the street, on the road before him, some were convinced this was the long-awaited Messiah. After all, the prophets talked about it. The prophets told about him. There was a lot of prophecy that was going to happen someday, and I'm sure in that crowd there was those that said, this is he, and they were shouting Hosannas. And because the Passover was nigh in Jerusalem, there were many in that town, many that weren't necessarily people that lived there, but they were there, and they are saying in their mind, what's going on? In fact, who in the world is this? And as I have said, according to verse 15, some in the crowd didn't even want to hear the name Jesus. Don't want to hear about Hosanna. Don't want to see kids crying out. In a matter of fact, you read through the Gospels, you see another one of the accounts, they challenge Jesus. Tell him to be quiet. You might be thinking, Jim, so what are we talking about this for today? I would submit to you, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, because it's no different today than it was on that day. There are still three sets, at least, but there are still three parts to the crowd. In every crowd, in our communities, there are still three sets. In churches, there are still three sets of thoughts about Jesus and who He really is. And so I would submit to you today that we must decide two things. Number one, which crowd are we really part of? The ones crying, Lord, and absolutely committed, I'm going to follow Him no matter what. Or are we saying, well, that's just another way. That's just another way to heaven. I think there's actually a lot of them. Which crowd are we in? Are we in that crowd that is so indignant over the name of Jesus anymore that we're saying He's just a phony, He's a liar? Because we're in one of those three crowds. And the rest of humanity around us is too. We need to decide which crowd we are in, and then we need to decide if this is relevant or not. We talked about the truth a while ago, and if it is relevant and it is the truth, then we need to decide if we are in the right crowd, the one calling to Him Lord. I know that in society and in churches there are those willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because they trust He is real by faith. We understand He's relevant and necessary, and we know we need a Savior. This is actually what God desires of all people, that we would recognize He is relevant. He is real. He sent Him for a reason. This is what God desires, that all people would surrender and have that surrendered dependence upon Jesus. That's what God desires. But there's a lot of folks around us today still wondering who He is. You might be here today wondering, who is He supposed to be? Is He supposed to be God? After all, that's what the Bible says in John 1:1. Is He supposed to be just another teacher? Is He supposed to be just another way? After all, we have teachings around us that said, well, Jim, there's law always lead to heaven in the end. That's not what the Bible says, but a lot of folks subscribe to that. We have to decide, friends, at some point, which category are we in? Because there's a lot of folks wondering today, who is He supposed to be? And there's a lot of people wondering, so what do I got to do about it? There's a lot of people in society and some in churches today, I suppose, and certainly in our workplaces and in government and every place else that really don't care. They will say to me or to you on a whim, and you may say this to me, well, I believe in God. I really think He's probably real. But have not trusted Christ as Lord. Even though the Bible says there's no way to God without the Son. We need the Son. And so there's lots and lots of people in that big old crowd today that's shrugging their shoulders and saying, who is He? Who is He? Then there's that group that knows enough, just enough about Him to be adamantly opposed to who He is. Adamantly opposed to the name of Jesus. Adamantly opposed to somebody claiming He's the only way. Adamantly opposed to these children crying out, Hosanna! Can you see the little ones that day crying out, Hosanna? The crowds, they had stopped crying that. He had moved on to the temple. He'd had that little Well, they had that little arrangement where he tipped over the tables and he cast out the money changers. And one translation says he braided a cord into a whip and run them off. And so we had this little exchange going on. And yet the children have followed him to the temple and the children are still crying, Hosanna! And some people were mad as hops because of them kids. Shut them up. Shut them kids up. Crying out, Hosanna. This group of people just happened to be the religious elite that day. The religious people. The one that should have known good and well what the book of Moses, the writings of Moses and the prophets said. This was the religious elite that day that said, I don't even want to hear about his name. All three of these categories still exist. I think they exist just like they existed that day on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Not only do I think they exist in society, I think there's times when they exist in the church. The church, the overall. I'm not talking about denominations, I'm saying the church. Most of us here today and most of us in life like to align ourselves in group one. We like to assume or think that we're in category one that is recognized. This is all true. This is relevant. He is the Messiah. He is Hosanna. He is Emmanuel. He is the Savior. And I need Him. And we have surrendered our lives to Him. Most of us like to conclude we are in category one, shouting Hosannas because He's made a triumphal entry into my life. But in society and the church today, there's a lot of people in the second group I've mentioned already that are just confused as to who he really is and what do I need to really do about it. What do you mean, Jim? I can't say I believe in Jesus in walk with the world. What do you mean that I can't say I believe in God and that and call it good enough? There's a lot of folks in the second category that are still shrugging their shoulders and saying, who is he? There's a lot of people I fear in this dangerous category suggesting that I'm a pretty good person. I call it the pretty good person category. I'm a pretty good person, Jim. I haven't killed anybody. Haven't stole from my neighbor. Matter of fact, I even get to church once in a while. I'm a pretty good person. But shrugging their shoulders at who Jesus really is. And then there's this ever-growing population that today is like the Pharisees were that day, indignant at even the mention of his name. Have you noticed that in society today, friends? Indignant even at his name. They were Pharisees that day. Indignant at the name of Jesus. Outraged that people would give him glory and call him Lord. Have you noticed today, friends, it really isn't much different. There's still those categories that are indignant at the name of Jesus. I think of these three categories, and I wonder which category we find ourselves in today. I know which one I want to be in, and I've trusted Christ as Lord. I want to be in that category, regardless of persecution or somebody else's wrath or indignation. I want to be in the category that says, Hosanna! Hosanna! And I'm sure that's where you want to be too. But there's a lot of folks in the other two categories that are just wondering, who is he? You mean there's something I need to do about that? And there's the ever-increasing population that are indignant toward him. I mentioned to you a while ago, the fastest growing group in America is called the nuns. N-O-N-E-S. Some of you remember that. It was a few months ago. That's the fastest growing group in America. The nuns have no interest in churches or their Jesus. N-O-N-S. There's an article about this. A couple of articles. Fastest growing population in America, irrelevant to me today. Church and Jesus. This category is growing. Church and Jesus, no relevance to me. Who is he? What do I need to do about it? Why do I need to do anything? But do I care? I submit to you that these same three crowds are existing today, brothers and sisters. This crowd of that are vehemently opposed to Jesus in America is growing. And I wonder, why were the religious leaders so upset that day? You ever wondered that? Why are the religious people who are supposed to... Here's the classic, well, I know about God, but wouldn't accept Christ. They wouldn't acknowledge Jesus as Lord. They didn't even want to talk about his name. That's the classic example right there. People tell me all the time, and I used to be in that crowd. I know about God, but didn't know Jesus. The Pharisees knew about God and didn't even want to hear his name. Why were they so indignant that day? They saw the miracles. They knew Zechariah. They knew Isaiah's prophecies. I think they even heard about Lazarus, which just happened a couple of weeks prior, just outside of Jerusalem. Remember the story? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Pretty sure word got into town. They knew all of that and were indignant at the name of Jesus. In cult, in society today, we know a lot of these Bible stories. We've maybe even read a few of them, been brought up in Sunday school or VBS or Awana or something. And yet, in churches today, believe it or not, and in society today, people are indignant at the name of Jesus. Don't tell me he's the only way. I don't buy that. Don't tell me I got to live by his word. God loves me, even living in my sin. They're indignant at the name of Jesus. And I wonder why. You ever wonder why? Why were they so indignant that day? In our own society, in our own culture, why is there this ever-increasing, systematic trying to remove the name of Jesus from our country? You ever wondered that? Why is there this systematic attempt? Take him out. Take him out of the schools. Well, we did that a long time ago. Take him out of government. Take him out of the courthouses. Take him out of the military. Have you ever wondered why are we indignant at the name of Jesus? Why are judges being sued if they don't want to take the Ten Commandments to take the Ten Commandments out of their courthouse? I mentioned a couple examples to you last week. Why are military chaplains, they're chaplains. Why are they being instructed? Don't pray in the name of Jesus. Don't use the name of Jesus. Why are we so offended by the name of Jesus? Why do we find our culture moving into that set of crowd? It was a small set that day. It was a few Pharisees and probably a few others that didn't speak up. But why do we find ourselves and see in culture and society this mass moving towards I don't care, who is he, and those that are just outright angry at the name of Jesus? Why are we suing to take crosses down on public lands in America? Why, I ask myself as I see these crowds and I'm reminded of them, why are we so indifferent at the name of Jesus? Well, I'll just take my chances. I'm not sure that I really need him. Why this hatred towards the name of Jesus, even today? You know why I think it is? I bet you think I'm going to tell you, don't you? I think because he's really Lord. I think it's because he's really Lord. Lord of all creation. Lord of the universe. Lord of our lives if we'll let him. I think there's this outright hatred towards the name of Jesus because he's really Lord. I think there's this massive amount of the population moving into this arena, shrugging our shoulders so what? Maybe there's multiple ways to heaven, Jim. I think God is good after all, and I think he's probably real, and I think there's multiple ways to heaven. I think there's this massive moving of indifference because Jesus is the only way, just like he said he was. And so, friends, as we close today on this triumphal entry Sunday, which category are you in? Praise team, are you, if you're still here, would you sing Jesus Messiah? Would you lead us in that? Jesus Messiah. Friends, you've got to decide. Now, you might tell me, Jim, I've been in church my whole life. Or you might say, Jim, I'm a pretty good person. I never hurt anybody, and I believe in God. That's wonderful. I thank God for that, and you should too. But friends, you have to ask yourselves, is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of my life? Because Jesus made it clear, he's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God the Father. And if he's not Lord of our whole life, he's probably not Lord at all. So you have to decide. Is he liar, lunatic, or Lord? While we're singing this last song, if you're not sure, you want to pray with Pastor Les, Pastor Richard, myself, we're here. You want to pray at the altar. But friends, we got to decide. I was talking to a couple of my friends here this morning, and they told me of a man. I used to work with a pair of brothers at the plant. Their brother died last night in a car accident. Living life free one moment and dead the next. There was a plane crash in Little Opine River a couple days ago. People flying around in a plane, perfectly okay one moment and dead the next. Friends, at some point we've got to decide. And maybe you have already, and I praise God if you have. But to say I believe in God and live like the world is not calling him Lord. It's not following him as Lord. To say I believe in God in my mind, Jim, and following the world is not following Christ. And so I'm asking you today to think about it. Is he liar? Is he lunatic? Or is he Lord? And if he's not Lord, would you please cry out to him and receive him as Lord of your life? Ask him for forgiveness. He's willing to forgive. He's wanting to forgive. He's wanting to be Lord of our lives. You can do it with Les. You can do it with Richard. You can do it with me. You can do it here. You can do it in the quiet of your own seat. But you need to address the question, which crowd am I in? Almighty God, we thank and praise you for your great love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I believe it, Lord. We stand here today, Father. We believe it. We believe in your great love for us. We believe that you sent your Son to redeem us from sin. We believe that he is the only way to God the Father. We believe, Father, that he died on the cross so we wouldn't have to stay lost in our sin. We believe that his blood is an atonement, was sacrificed for our sin. We believe the Bible, O God, and we want to be that crowd that cries out, Hosanna. But Father, if we're here today, or if our community is not in that category today, we pray for them. Not because we think we're better than anybody else, but because we know what it's like to be redeemed, and we want our families and our churches and our community and our nation to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, today people would not miss your visitation. If you're knocking on hearts' doors today, I pray that we wouldn't miss your visitation. We wouldn't miss the invitation that's been sent out to come. Come, be my child, be my son or daughter by faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you would dismiss us with your hand of guiding. Guide us to you. Guide us, Father, in life. Help us to be passionate followers of you. Guide us to be salt and light. Help us to love you and love our neighbor as ourselves. And this season, this week, Father, we pray that in this community, hundreds would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray in this nation millions would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray in this earth billions would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Not just words, but call Him Lord and mean it. And commit to being passionate followers of Jesus the Christ. Glorify Your name today and always, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.